Coming up in this transmission of the Anomaly Podcast with Jen and Angela, we discuss The Offspring from Season 3 of Star Trek The Next Generation. This is the one where Data builds an android that he calls Daughter. It's an emotional story and an interesting background for Season 1 of the Picard series. Spoiler alert for The Offspring, as well as Picard Season 1, Episodes 1 through 7. We hope this chat is a fun diversion wherever you're listening. You're listening to Anomaly Podcast, the show that's contrary to the ordinary. Whether you've just watched your very first comic book movie, or you can quote Tolkien at the drop of a sword, we'll help you embrace your passion for sci-fi fantasy books, films, television, and more. Get ready to laugh and geek out. Hit subscribe and join your tribe. Hello and welcome to the Anomaly Podcast. I'm Jen. The highlight of my weekend was binging TNG with my BFF, and I am an anomaly.
My name is Angela, and I am one of three, and I am an anomaly.
Welcome to the podcast.
Hello.
Yeah, we're back. I know this isn't a Borg episode, but I've been thinking about it, so there you go. That's what you get. You're also one of three.
I am.
And so is Jen, and so is Stephanie. Isn't that funny?
That is. True. Yes, and we're all oldest.
All three of us.
That's why we're one.
Oldest. And not just that we're one, but we're one of three. And we each have a brother and a sister.
And I think they're the same order, too. My sister's the middle child, and my brother is the youngest.
Yes, and then Jen has the same exact thing. I have the same exact thing, but Stephanie's, her brother is the middle, and her sister is the youngest. Still, though.
Stephanie has to be different.
I know, she does. So proud. But yes, so it's kind of interesting that we all have that same kind of thing going. So that's us. There was a lot of Next Generation happening this weekend.
Indeed.
Yeah, so we did this, and then Craig came over on Friday, and we watched First Contact. And Russell still was kind of nervous about it, so he didn't watch. And then today he decided to watch it by himself all the way through. Was pretty proud of him.
Well, good. That's so been a sticking point for him because he's very afraid of the Borg, or has been in the past. So
it has been a huge hang up, but he's like, now he's into it. So,
well, good.
Very happy.
Good. He crossed the threshold.
Yeah, he did. Yeah. I think, but of course, Jim and Russell are downstairs watching Clone Wars right now without me. That's okay.
Well, at least you can rewatch it later.
I can rewatch it anytime. It's
fine. It's funny that they're watching that. They're watching the latest one, right? Because it's very Borgy. It's very Borgy.
Oh, really? Yeah. That's kind of interesting.
This week's episode is all about the... let me start that over. Today we're covering The Offspring from Star Trek The Next Generation, Season 3, Episode 13, The Offspring. And it's one of my favorite episodes ever.
I agree.
It's up there, right?
It is one of my favorite episodes ever.
When I first watched it, I remember crying a lot during this episode. Mm-hmm. And I wondered, okay, now my perspective in life has changed, and I'm a mom now.
Oh.
And, you know, this is going to be harder for me to watch, and I was not wrong.
Totally. But, like, yeah, it's definitely different watching it as a mother. So different. Watching it as a mother.
Right.
But you and I started doing this because...
The new Star Trek Picard television series that's on CBS All Access has been pulling from the data-centric episodes of Star Trek The Next Generation. And we have been talking a lot about, you know, the backstory and how it ties in. And so we thought we would cover it on Anomaly and then maybe talk about how that's tying in. So we probably should give like a heads up to everyone. Season 1, Episode 6
of Picard
and Season 1, Episode 7 are the latest two episodes that we watch. So if you haven't seen Episode 1 through 7 and you don't want to be spoiled, be aware that we're going to be drawing parallels between what we've seen in Picard and what we know from Data's episodes in Star Trek The Next Generation. Yes.
This is definitely going on our revised mission statement of Anomaly to sort of dig in to the things that we're watching. So I'm very excited.
Yeah, me too. Of
course, we have a large audience of Star Trek fans who have been watching Star Trek in general since TOS. Like, they've hit all of the series. But there are some that are new fans who may not know some of the backstory. So you may want to go back and rewatch and get that background for yourself so that going forward in Picard, you're aware of what they're talking about and what they're bringing into the storyline.
Right. And it's kind of neat, too, because since TNG was very episodic in the storytelling nature, here's these episodes that happened that's like, oh yeah, I remember it. And they may do callbacks, but they were very monster of the week type of episodes pretty much all the way through. Yeah, there was some continuations, but it was mainly that. And it's so cool to me that they took some of the grains of some of these episodes and brought them into this new story. And so we had to look at it.
That's what we were talking about in our last episode when we were giving everyone our first impressions of the first episode of Picard, that Data was a vehicle that they used to examine what it was to be human.
Yeah. I mean, he was essentially the quote unquote Spock, but he was not as fly. Spock was a little more with it and together.
Human.
He understood.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, he was half human. He understood humans. He preferred not to participate. Whereas Data was actively wanting to become more human. So that was like a...
Like I was saying, it was a part two of that exploration of humanity, you know, because they first explored it in TOS, but Data made it... He took that to the next level. Because they explored things with Data that they couldn't do with Spock. Like, is a machine sentient? Do they have the same rights as a person does? We've explored some of these when we did Measure of a Man, you know, our review of that episode of TNG. Mm. Anyway, it was smart of them to take that storyline from TNG and bring it into Picard and use that as the through line, you know, of the first season.
Do you feel sort of personally vindicated? Because you and I have always, and my friend Heather, too, also, I remember when she and I were in college and we were roommates and she had a poster of Brent Spiner as Data. And so we've been like such giant fans. I mean, not just me, but my friends, you know, have been fans of these Data-centric episodes. And so how cool is it that the universe decided, hey, the thing you love is the thing we love and we're going to talk about it more? I don't know. That's just very exciting. I'm very emotional. I just finished the last episode of Picard, the most recent one. And so I'm going to sound like a crazy person during this.
I know. I think that is my favorite new Star Trek episode I have seen yet. It's going to be hard to top it. That's the one where two characters from TNG show up and they have an offspring of their own. So
that's true. And it's a little bit of a reunion. And it was very, very emotional. So
spoiler alert for season one, episode one of Picard through season one, episode seven of Picard. And also TNG, The Offspring from Season 3, Episode 13. So if you haven't watched that and you don't want to be spoiled, go do that. Go watch it now and then come back.
So this episode is very emotional. How Data, how Spiner interacts with Lal from the very beginning is very fatherly, intentional. Like, the way he thinks about it is very much, this is an extension of me, this is part of me, this is my child. And so all of that is almost hard to watch. But also, I love all of the things it says. It calls back to Measure of a Man. It calls forward to Picard. It's just such a good episode. I have so many like specific thoughts. So why don't you go ahead?
There are quotes in this episode that give hints to what's going on in Picard. Remember what we were just talking about, how they use data to explore like the big questions about what life is?
Yes.
Well, one of the questions was, does a machine have sentience? This is kind of like part two of that question from Measure of a Man. Picard gets a little bit PO'd at Data when he finds out that he's been experimenting and has created another android. Data makes a very valid point. He says, I have not observed anyone consulting you about procreation, Captain.
And that's fair.
Yeah. So, I mean, if you're going to consider Data a sentient being, then you can't hold him to a different standard. I understand Picard's concern because...
Yes. And even Starfleet's, in a way, like, if you look at it, that, like, now there's only two Sung-type androids in the whole ever. And both of them are on the same ship. I get it.
Yes. And if one falls into the wrong hands, if the Romulans had acquired Lol...
Right.
Then what would have happened? I mean, I understand the concern, but they had to kind of treat it more carefully. And then also there was a quote where Picard says, "It's a child, not an invention." I mean, I think that was Deanna. She was like, "It's a child, not an invention." And she says, "If he wishes to call Lol his child, then who are we to argue?" Picard is connecting with this episode, I feel like. It's related in some way.
No, I mean, it's related like all the ways. Even the look of Lol is very similar to the look of the two girls, you know, in Picard. I mean, yeah, there's a thematic parallels, but there's also a bunch of other parallels.
Oh, yes.
So yes. I had one like random thought in the notes that I took. So you know how in the scene where Lol is picking her gender and her... Why didn't... Troy is asleep in the holodeck. Why didn't she just like... You know, get a holographic like sofa or something. Right?
Right.
I would have done that. I mean, it's like, it's the holodeck.
I could see and if you I'm, doing that.
If I'm tired, I'm like, can I have a chaise?
Computer. Lazy
computer.
Boy.
Computer. Can I please have a recliner here and then fall asleep instead of like being up against the, you know, I just like that was one of those things I'd never, it had never, because I've watched this episode several times because it's one of my favorite episodes anyway. But it's kind of funny how like that was something that had never crossed my mind because I hadn't like really studied it for review. And I was like, hey, wait a minute. Why is Troy on the floor of the holodeck? You need to conjure that woman a bed. She's obviously been asleep a while. Anyway, though, that's where my brain goes.
No, I think they were on a budget and they had to be careful of things like that. But if they remade this for CBS All Access, they would have a couch or something for her to fall asleep on.
I think you're probably right. That's hilarious. How funny. Do you want to go over what happens?
Yes, Data does. He has a very real understanding and concern for the fact that he is the only one of his kind, you know, on a ship. And if something happens to him, then there is nothing of himself to go forward. And he makes that argument about every species
strives to procreate
to have something of themselves that can continue on when they're gone.
Mm-hmm.
He's lonely, too. I think he just wants
someone else
to have
like
family.
Him.
Yes. Other than the other humans, someone that he can teach and interact with on a different level. That's where he starts out. And at first, the android he creates is very alien looking. I mean, it's very, the face is very contoured.
Very robotic looking. You know what it almost reminded me of is kind of like the, oh, I never even thought about this. And have you ever seen Metropolis?
Yes.
Yes. So the robot before she becomes a human, oh my gosh, this was a callback to Metropolis. Like, looks like that.
Okay.
The Metropolis android.
I thought the Metropolis android looked like 3PO. And it moves like 3PO, but so does she.
Yeah, it's a very similar to the Metropolis android, though.
We need to rewatch Metropolis now.
I watched Metropolis in a sixth grade art class. Oh, the 80s were cool.
I rewatched it recently. Been a few years, though.
Well, it's very adult.
Yes.
Like, I'm not sure how they were able to do that, but, you know, they turn her into a woman, right? Mm-hmm. She gets turned into a real looking woman. So like there's all kinds of parallels there. Anyway, sorry. I don't know why I didn't figure that out until just now. I feel really silly.
He wants her to have the choice of selecting what she wants to look like and who she wants to be. Because
I mean,
it has to have a basis to start from. She can't start as a baby.
Yeah. And I think it's interesting that the android takes a liking to Troy very quickly, like wants to look like her. And she actually picks a young woman who looks very similar in, you know, hair color, and she kind of looks like Troy. I could see it.
Uh-huh. A bit, yes, definitely. Her eyes are green, though. I think her eyes are green, which is another nice tie-in that Picard television series did. Daj and Soji's eyes Yeah, so that was the argument that Data made, was like, there's a primal instinct to perpetuate yourselves, you know. There mm-hmm. until not now, I've been the last of my kind. If I were to be damaged or destroyed, I would be lost forever. So he has a very logical point for it.
It kind of brings into something that I thought of while I was watching the episode. You know, to your point, it's like, where is that line between logic, like a logical conclusion, and an emotional one? So you, the words you use, primal is not logical. It's the opposite. But I just think it's kind of interesting, the writers, what they're saying about what is a logical thing to draw and what is a emotional thing to draw. Mm-hmm. But it may be logical to think that someone would want to not be alone.
Yeah.
That may be logical. I don't know. I think it's interesting that it raises the question, right? Like, it's so cool. I hate to be super fangirl. No, I don't hate to be super fangirl. I am one. Of not only TNG, but of Brent Spiner specifically, is watching him through this episode. There's little things that he does that are just daggers. Like, even just when he's watching her, like, learn how to eat or drink or any of the things that he does, and he just has these slight kind of proud,
yes,
fatherly, like he can't help it. It's so great. And it's so Data still. Like, it doesn't break character in my mind. It's just, I don't know. He's killing me, like, through the whole thing when he's like, we are a family.
Yes.
Yes. My God.
I think that all parents want their children to move past them as far as, you know, learning more, experiencing more, succeeding where we haven't. Yeah. I saw that as something that Lal was able to do, and that was just another thing that made him proud, but at the same time sad. And I say sad, but he says over and over again, I can't experience emotion. But that's hard for me to believe, because I think that what he doesn't realize is that he is evolving by experiencing all these things.
It comes together that the natural progression of this type of android would somehow culminate into some sort of humanistic sentience, right? And that's kind of what Picard is saying. And actually, as we move forward in TNG, they even start saying that. And it's also interesting to me the other things they cover, the natural experiences of being a child, like the bullying and things like that.
And love and attraction.
And love. And then the part that really, really gets me is when he goes and visits Beverly. It's a very cute exchange. You also get a little more insight into Wesley, you know, and how he was a super bright kid, which you kind of knew already, but, you know, that he had a hard time. And then when he says, oh, you know, I can't show her love or whatever. And then Beverly's like,
Now, why do I find that hard to believe?
Yeah. Oh, that just crushes me, because maybe he can't feel love the way that humans can necessarily, but man, he does a good job.
Right.
Well, you know, caring for the people around him. And it's like, that's so obvious through the whole thing about the attachments that he makes. And
also the name he chose for her, Lal.
Oh,
it means
so
beloved.
Great.
And I can't remember what language it's in. I'm sure somebody.
Hindi. Yeah, it says it in the episode.
Okay. Yeah, I couldn't remember what it was, but I just thought, wow, what a great example of how she was a product of his love. Even if he couldn't feel it, that's why he made her. He had the best reasons for. I mean, it wasn't because he wanted to create an army of androids to take over and, you know, whatever. It was just purely to have a continuation of himself and have a family. And I don't know. I found that just to be like the icing on the cake to find out that that's what Lal meant. So here's another parallel. The age of Lal and the age of Soji and Dodge, they're the same. Mm-hmm. She looks maybe 19, maybe 19, 20. Mm-hmm. You still are a young person, an adolescent, but you're entering adulthood, and you're experiencing new things that can get you into trouble or are scary and
or know, make bad decisions.
Right. So it's interesting that they made Dodge and Soji the same age as Lal. But also, I mean, this was an interesting time for Data, because, I mean, she's obviously more advanced than the children, because they tried to put her with the children. The educators on the ship were trying to find the right fit for her in school. So she was not with the children at first. She was with people that looked her age. And she had a hard time understanding
the interactions.
And you see that, too, in 10 Forward, where she's with Guinan behind the counter at the bar, and Riker comes in.
She also, like, gets all sexy.
She does, but
she does, like, a little flirty.
She instinctually senses that from him, you know?
That's funny. And
she practices on Riker, you know, flirting, and then jerks him across the counter and kisses him. And I think it was Guinan, and she said, "Lol, put him down." Dave and I did a skit for Treks and Sci-Fi. I'll put in the show notes. It's a YouTube video y'all can see that we did of that scene. But anyway.
We were also talking about, and this is something that you said, because we watched these together yesterday and like texted while we were watching. And something that you brought up was that this whole idea that she's talking about not wanting to be different. Now she's aware that she's different. And that's a hard thing to be aware of. And that's something that comes up a lot just in our general conversations. It's a very anomaly thing to be different and be aware of it.
Oh, well, Dodge. I mean, Dodge and Soji. Soji just learns in the last episode that we just watched, episode 7, that she is not human, and so she's having to adjust to being different, being other. So that's another tie-in.
Oh, it definitely is.
She's able to use contractions too, and that's another thing that Data's proud of. It's like he was like this miracle that happened, a machine that achieved sentience. Mm-hmm. And he was able to create someone like him that was able to do not only to be sentient, because I may be mixing up Picard and TNG, but doesn't he say that she's in the early stages of achieving sentience?
Mm-hmm. Passing into sentience.
She's passing into sentience.
Well, it's funny. I told you this while we were watching that I don't even realize how much I reference this episode, like when I'm raising my little Data, my little boy, because like I've joked with him about that. You know, you're almost in puberty, you're passing into sentience. And so like I've literally said that to him and I'm like, oh, that's so funny. This one episode has like reflected through my life and helped me parent. I don't know. You know that you're not alone, because this happens to everybody. And I think it happens to humans, too. We just don't think about it that way. Passing into really understanding that you are part of something else, but you are also your own person. I mean, that's a big thing to go through, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
There was something. Oh, we get a black hat in the story.
It's always an admiral.
It's always an admiral.
Yeah. Or it's like some like the lawyer or...
The lawyer was only in one, and I liked her, and she was very fair. I liked the lawyer. And Maddox, I have always found to be an interesting character because, yes, he's horrible when you first meet him, and it's very similar to this guy. And I kind of had the same arc with Maddox that I had with this guy, is because, you know, at the end of the day, they just really, they're kind of hero worshipers of Sung. Mm-hmm. And here is Sung's greatest achievement, like right in front of them. And all they want is to know how he works. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't really occur to them, or it doesn't occur. It's just they're so driven by wanting to know more about Data, know more about the Sung type, you know, androids, that they get lost in that. And they don't realize that this is like an individual person now that's been created, you know?
Yeah.
I have to forgive them a little bit because they're driven by a passion for something else. And especially how this guy reacts at the end, how he's so amazed by how Data is reacting and how fast he moves. That's the part that gets me every time, is when he's describing how Data is trying to
save her,
fix her. And he has that line about his hands were just moving so fast. I could barely see, trying to keep, you know, one cascade failure after another. And he just kept working and he wouldn't give up. And when he describes that, I just, the idea of him and he's holding, like the actor does like a really good job describing that. And it just gets me every time. Total.
Yeah.
Totally.
That was Nicholas Coster. He played Admiral Anthony Halftail. The actress who plays Law, I give her like major kudos because she sells it. I mean, of course, Brent Spiner, it depends on his portrayal of Data. It could have easily fallen flat if they had the wrong actress playing Lol.
Yeah, her voice, like every time she speaks, she has this bit of longing in her voice. Like,
yes.
Why is this happening? And you feel that kind of crack in her voice. It's just gorgeous. It's just gorgeous.
Yeah, I do not wish to be different. Yeah, and then the end, are we ready to talk about the moment where they say goodbye?
Yes.
Oh, that is so heart-wrenching. Data says they only have a few minutes or something to that extent. And Law says, I feel, and he says, what do you feel, Law? I love you, Father. And he's like, I wish I could feel it with you. And she says, I will feel it for both of us. Thank you for my life. Just such a touching episode. And
it really is.
I don't really know. I mean, there are very few that come this close to being perfect. And I...
That's true.
Kudos
and you know
to,
who directed
yes,
it?
Yes, Jonathan Frakes.
Jonathan Frakes, man.
Good job, Jonathan Frakes. And also, it was written by Rene Echeverria. And he does the next one we're going to review as well. He was also...
Oh,
yes,
really?
He did. He's just... excellent at writing these types of episodes.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So The Offspring, if you haven't seen it, you know, you got the highlights, the good highlights about why it's so great. Watch it and then rewatch all the episodes of Picard to get another layer of the onion.
Well, and especially if you're someone who has come late to Star Trek and just got into Picard, because I know that that's happened. This is one of those episodes of TNG that's definitely worth a rewatch. And the cool thing about TNG is because... not every episode is connected. You can kind of drop in to this episode. There's some things that are easier to understand if you've seen everything, but this is not, you know, you can drop into this episode and you're not going to miss anything, really.
Right. Yeah. You have a basic understanding of who the characters are. You can understand it and
exactly.
enjoy it. The Daystrom Institute figures into this episode as well, which is also touched on in Picard. Well, not just touched on. I mean, Agnes is from the Daystrom Institute, isn't she? So
Yes, she is.
And I don't know how much to say there, but Half-Tail is kind of the bad guy from the Daystrom. Isn't he Daystrom? Or is he...
He is. Yeah. Well, he's from like a... Because there's like a planetary... Like, because they're not going to like the actual Daystrom. They're going to like that sector's Daystrom.
Okay. I missed that part. I was just all caught up in what was going on between Data and Law.
I get it.
Yeah. That does it for this episode.
Yeah. I mean, that was the idea, is to do kind of a quick episode, quick-ish for us.
The following episode will be all about Data's mom.
Yep.
It's a TNG episode from season 7. And what's the name of it? I'm looking at my notes.
Inheritance?
It's Inheritance, yes. Mm-hmm. So we're going to record that right after this. Yeah, back-to-back episodes.
Magic.
If you have any input, we'd love to hear it. You know, Angela, there are so many new podcasts that are out right now where they don't give you the opportunity to write in. They don't even tell you what their email address is because they're like big productions, true crime this or true crime that.
I do like
I love it too. I do. I'm addicted. But they don't give you the opportunity to be a part of the show. And I think it's training.
That's true.
It's training people, you know, not to connect. You know, you might jump on a Facebook group, but you're never going to be able to talk to the hosts. Well, we're old school, Angela. We've been doing this for like 13 years in March. This is our birthday month.
So long.
Our birthday month.
This is our birthday month.
Yes, that's 13 years. And since the beginning, we've always included our listeners. So if you would like to comment on this or any other episode, please do. And listen to the end. We'll have all our contact information. So, I'm Jen.
And I'm Angela.
And you've been listening to the Anomaly Podcast, the halfway point between Muggle and Geek.
Woo!
Boom, boom, boom. Okay.
We did it!
Thank you so much for listening to the Anomaly Podcast with Jen and Angela. Please don't forget to subscribe in the app you're listening to, or go to anomalypodcast.com and click on subscribe. There you'll find all the apps we're available in. And if you like what you heard, tell a friend about us. Just share a link to our podcast website at anomalypodcast.com. That's A-N-O-M-A-L-Y podcast.com. There you can also find archived episodes going all the way back to 2006, as well as a contact page where you can email the show. If you have comments on this or any other episode, be sure to send them to us. girlygeeks@gmail.com. That's girlygeeks with a Z @gmail.com. Next week, we'll cover Inheritance from Season 7 of Star Trek The Next Generation. There are a lot of interesting clues about the Picard series in that classic Trek episode. Also coming up is a YouTube edition of Anomaly. My son and I will be playing Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic, Battlefront 1 and 2, Minecraft, and anything else we have the itch to play. So if you're a gamer, or if you have little ones who like to play games, this might be a good one for you guys to watch on YouTube. Go to YouTube and search for Anomaly Podcast. A-N-O-M-A-L-Y Podcast. Hit subscribe and click the notify bell so you get the episodes as they're released. Special thanks to Amber, Stephanie, Rick P., and Rick M. for their continued support of the Anomaly Podcast. Thank you so much for listening. We're going to get through this, guys. Hang in there, stay positive, and we'll see you next week.